afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 204th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as new Mainers. My guest today is African Dandata. He was born in South Sudan, raised in a refugee camp in Uganda until he was 10, when his family was resettled in 1999 in Virginia, before they eventually found their way to Maine. Welcome back to New Mainers Speak, my friend.
I thank you. New Mainers Speak. We back.
You're back. You're a musician, and you share your rap music all over the city, performing before children and peers and Mainers of all sorts. Can you tell us when you started rapping and how you got so good at it?
I would say I didn't get good. It's just that I found myself. You know, the best thing you can do is just try and then and go on from there, because the learning process really comes natural, and then people adapt, and you can adapt.
Yeah, it's so important not to keep your talent hidden, but to have the courage to go out there and be seen.
Exactly.
So how do you get the courage up? Do you get nervous before a performance?
Oh, yes, I get very nervous. I start shaking, sweating. I start losing my words. And that's why when I'm on stage, I yell and I shout and I go blah, blah, blah. It's really just to take away the anxiety. I'm literally going to war every time I get on stage. People don't know that, but I go to war.
I love that you're willing to say that. So it's not that performing is just for people who are real cool. You know, you have something to say, so you override that, you go to war, and you put yourself out there.
Exactly.
That takes guts.
Yep.
You rap about very positive messages. I think of you as a real optimist, yet you've lived through kind of difficult times. And I wonder what keeps you so positive.
You know, there's a bigger picture to this whole thing, this whole life thing. And the way I see it is, it's about the youth, the younger generation. I really don't care about anything else, because at the end of the day, you know, we're getting older. And as we get older, we can either make the younger generation dumber or we can make them smarter. So what do you choose?
Where did you get that? Who influenced you to see the world that way? Or did you just come that way?
I feel like my parents really, really did a big part. Yeah, first things first, let me shout out to my mom and my dad, you know, great people. They're out here representing, man. They're representing for me, and I'm out here representing for them. I mean, and that's how it goes. But at the same time, you know, my grandparents were great people, really great people. My grandfather alone, he was a very powerful person. This is a man who never went to school. He never went to school, but he was a man of wisdom. He can speak to you in words that can either destroy you or make you, but you get to choose what you want. My grandfather knew how to pick words. He knew how to speak to people. And sometimes he would just tell you straight up how it is, and then you go on from there and you pick what you want. But and then my grandmother, she was very peaceful and very down to earth. And then me and my grandfather were best friends, and then we used to call each other bosses. In my language, we say a bam bam. A bam bam means boss. You know, he calls me a bam bam. I call him a bam bam. And then throughout my whole life is this thing that I always felt this powerful. And at the end of the day, all I could say is, you know, surround yourself with good people, you know, and make sure you go out there and show your elders some love, man. And it's very simple. Just show some love and you're gonna get some blessings.
I think that's so wise. And here you are caring very much about the younger generation and then talking about how you were formed by someone caring about the younger generation. Someone took an interest in you, and stick with the people who are going to support you, and you'll keep rising.
Yes. And all I can say is, you know, my elders, they're the ones who made me so powerful. And I'm not just saying my elders as in my grandparents and my mom and my dad, but I mean my uncles and any one of my older cousins, and because everything that each one of them people went through, all the life struggles and all that, I got to learn from each one of those. And then, yeah, I really thank each one of y'all. Yeah.
Your gratitude is profound. It's a big part of who you are. And I love that about you. I kind of feel like you're a minister or a preacher, or, you know, you have such a values angle and you feel the love, you encourage other people to feel the love, and you're grateful for all that have helped you to access that.
Yes.
Would you be willing to do a song for us so listeners can get a feel for your style and your talent?
Yes, I can. I can spit some for them real fast. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, so this piece is called We All the Same. And we're going to play it. It has been released on YouTube for an hour.
It's about, you know, how big your car is, or how nice your car is, how nice your clothes are, how nice everything is, or how big of a house you live in. And then where I come from, we didn't think about money all the time, because whatever we needed, we grew on our own land. If we needed food, we grow our own food. We needed meat, we had our own livestock. So, and then you come to America where there's little kids who are talking about making money and getting rich. How is that possible? You don't know you're already rich?
Great question.
We got little kids trying to be rich at a young age. Come on. We need to go back to the beginning, and people need to understand how rich they really are. We are all very rich. The riches is us being together, us really communicating with people. Imagine if we can party every day like it's a holiday. Really think about that. That's what life should be about. It's not about waking up and going to work. And though we need that, because there needs to be a balance. But at the same time, it's about, we need a new way of thinking. We need a new way of thinking. I feel like this whole money thing was all just a setup to keep us all small, to keep us all down. And then if you really think about it, money is printed. How is it that something that runs my life is printed?
Such a great question.
How are you going to run my life with something that's printed?
I really think this is where diversity enriches our community so much. You come from a place where money basically wasn't even needed. You want a house, you build it out of mud bricks and reeds. You need some food, you grow it. Money was just something that came and went, but didn't control your consciousness. And here, you can spend your whole day running around chasing money and not having time to sing a song with some friends.
Exactly.
Maybe we're missing the point.
Yep. I feel like the world is missing a very big point, because people are forgetting that all these materials don't really mean anything. Nothing really matters except for just one love and spreading the positive energy and just really sticking together.
You're a remarkable person, African Dandata.
Thank you.
You put your ideals about our connections to one another and your richly developed gratitude before a more commercial and superficial view of daily life. And you remind us all that we belong to one another, and you aren't afraid to say so. Thanks so much for coming back on my show to share your beautiful vision with us today.
Thank you, New Man to Speak. Thank you, Kate.
And I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that African Dandata has created and put up on YouTube for us just today. Tell us about this song before we hear it.
So basically what it is this song is just to sum it all up, that we are all the same.
The black and the berry, the sweet and the juice. Okay, let's find out, shall we? Let's go. Hey. I said black, white, black, white, black, white, blacker than white.
La 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 la. The people will pull back.
We are the same, baby. The money will come if you work for it. This is your day, baby. La la la.
My guest today is Mariella Uimana. She's originally from Rwanda, where she spoke Kinyarwanda, Swahili, Kirwanda, and French. She attended university in Uganda in English and got her master's degree in Denmark in Danish. Of course, that means she speaks six languages and brings to Maine her global understanding of people and cultures across three continents. She's a mother of three sons, has lived in South Portland, Maine since last August 2018. And I'd like to welcome you, Mariella. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Kat, for inviting me.
When we met earlier this week, you were telling me about your finely curated concept of home and what home means to you. I wondered if you could share a little bit about your original home in southern Rwanda, maybe memories of the landscape, food, culture, whatever comes to mind for you.
Thank you, Kat. I was born and raised in Rwanda, in the southern part of Rwanda called Butare. The memories are huge and beautiful because I was the last born of the nine siblings, mm-hmm. which means I used to be kind of a spoiled child in the number of nine. You can imagine how it was, and they used to be like almost my parents,
uh-huh.
which I have big memories and huge remembrances of them. I used to be, my father was an animal doctor. I grew up with a lot of animals and lots of big family with a lot of aunties coming to our home, cousins. So I grew up in a big home with lots of love, lots of food. Various food, because my mom used to have a piece of land. It was a village, a kind of a village, where we ate the food that we grew in our home.
Yes. What would be a Sunday night dinner that you'd enjoy together?
A Sunday night used to be, I remember, like dry meat, because my father was animal doctor. We had lots of dry meat where.
Like jerky?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have that, and we used to eat on a big table, all of us.
With nine siblings and two parents and aunts and uncles, there must have been 20 people around your table.
Yes, it used to be huge. Our home was on a junction of two different roads where we had like our neighbors passing through our home all the time. It used to be like kind of easy. Life was more beautiful then because people used to be more relaxed and feeling like every neighbor, we used to feel it was our home, our own homes. So we used to go without knocking, without calling. No phones back then, I think.
You belonged everywhere.
Yeah, we belonged everywhere. So we used to have home full of people all the time.
How lovely.
Yeah. My own experience of my childhood background, it's more like everything. I usually call it my beautiful world because I think my childhood memories, it was so beautiful because having parents, protecting parents, it's everything in this world. The issue is comparing having and not having them anymore. It's two different worlds.
Really different worlds.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
April's a time when genocide survivors commemorate that experience, and this is going to be the 25th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda, this 2019. What was that experience like for you as a young woman over these past 25 years of having your world change so dramatically?
The experience has been tremendous. It's huge. I call it huge because no one was prepared for what happened. It just came all of a sudden. We were not prepared. Neither our parents used to talk to us about it. I think they wanted to be more protective to us. They didn't want to scare us. So it happened all of a sudden. So we ran away. And from my experience, I never saw them again. And I lost my home that time. I never saw them. And that was it. So my world changed completely from that time. So it's a huge experience. I had to find a living by myself without any mentor.
Because at 14?
Yeah, at 14 years. As a young woman, it's kind of more difficult because you have to be protective to yourself to find the way of living without any guidance.
You must have had to dig very deep because you're in a state of shock, I'm sure, and then mourning, and so is everyone else. It's not like you can just go lean on someone.
No.
Right?
Yeah, it was quite difficult because my own experience is everybody, especially in Rwanda, had the way of surviving. We have had different mode of survival. So my own was like covering up. It took me so long time to be able to speak out what happened to me. I just cover up the pain. I never spoke out. I never even, when people started talking about the genocide and what happened, I just moved away of the room immediately.
Too vulnerable.
Yes. So it's recently that I started seeing that, why can't I just talk about it? What's wrong with me? I started thinking, so maybe why? So, and it came up that my boys started growing up. So they came up with questions all the time. So I was like, oh, how? I have to be there and I have to stand firm to be able to talk to them about what happened. So I started first taking conversation to myself before being able to talk to them and being able to explain to them what happened.
I'm always impressed by what we'll do for love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for your boys that you care so much for, you need to be able to tell the story in a way that children can hear it and understand.
Exactly, and without hurting them, without scaring them, it's very important because myself, I have been so scared because after what happened, I got confused about people.
How do you know who to trust?
Exactly.
Yes.
So it has been a big issue to me. So I was like, how do I explain to my children how people can kill each other without scaring them? So it's a huge exercise first know how to talk to them about that. Because we deal with people. We are human beings. We are people. So how do you tell your own children that they have no grandparents? They have lost entire families. Both sides, from their father's side, from their mother's side, and they were killed by people. Because I started talking to the second one about it, and he was like, he came up with a serious question. Mama, how does a person kill another person? So I was like, oh, I have to be careful how I have to explain more to him about what happened to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so brave to double back and look at that stuff that was too hard to look at before.
Mm-hmm.
You said when we met before that you're not the only one who couldn't look at it right away. And in fact, it's surprising that there's a lot of suicide now in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
25 years later, people have kept that secret unsorted, and now it just destroys them from the inside.
Mm-hmm. When I look at it, I never thought that I could, through some dark period in my life, after making it almost, I went to school, I thought I had managed to live again. But trauma, if you don't take care of it, it never goes away. It stays there. So I thought trauma and depression was not mine because I thought I was strong to be able to stand, to go to school, to get a family again, have children, go to school and have a career almost. I mean, I was like, that's not me. It cannot be me. I cannot be depressed. Why?
So you had accomplished everything outwardly, but inside you still had some things that had to be sorted out.
I had huge wounds and I had like, my healing was not worked on. I covered up for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was strong, but I wasn't. So
Well, it's kind of both. You were strong and you had hurt spots.
Yes, so I had to work the inside, the wounds, to understand it more. I had to explain first to myself and learn actually more why and what happened to me to understand it.
And you had to grow up too. You know, your adult self can go back to your child self and sort that out in a different way than a 14-year-old might be able to make sense of it.
Exactly.
You needed to grow up to understand it better.
Yeah.
So, my goodness, what a journey you have been on. You are unstoppable, resilient, and very beautiful woman. I hope your dream to become a transformation advisor comes into fruition right here in Southern Maine, where we can all benefit from your mature wisdom and your generous spirit for years to come. Thank you so much for picking Maine to be your home.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest and as a new friend.
Yes, a new friend. Thank you. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song Mariela has selected for us. Can you tell us the title of this song and maybe just a word about why you chose it?
This song is called Ndanyuzwe. It's by Arine Gahongayire. It means that I'm grateful. Being grateful is, to me, everything. Once you're grateful, the life is beautiful. And you're thankful to God about what God has done to you. Then it does even much more than you have ever thought about.
I think we'll hear it in the music. It's quite beautiful, too. Thank you, Mariela.
Thank you. It's okay.
My guest today is Mateo Hodo. He came to Maine as a teenager, finished school at Bonnie Eagle High School, and now lives and works in Portland, Maine. He and his wife and family own and operate Coffee Me Up, the friendliest coffee shop maybe in the world. Yeah. No. Today, he joins me to share some of his dreams. So you have said you found your purpose in life. Would you be willing to share what you feel your purpose is all about?
I feel that my purpose in life is to spread love, joy, and happiness in the world and create a sense of unity for the human race. And that is what I'm working on.
Okay, well, that's a giant mission.
It is.
Did you feel called to that suddenly, or has this been a project you've been working on a long time?
I feel like it's something that I've practiced my whole life, especially with every single person that I've came into contact with. And it doesn't matter at anywhere in life, you know, it could be someone on a flight, could be someone on a bus ride, could be anyone. But I feel that human beings have this special part about them that if it's access, could be even access for a temporary, but you can gain so much out of that.
Yes.
So
the world responds quite differently to you depending on how you put yourself out there.
Correct. I'm a firm believer in that how you feel transmits to anyone and anything that you do.
We all know that bad energy is contagious, right? Somebody comes in and yells at everybody in the office and everyone feels poorly.
Yes.
But so you certainly know that good energy is contagious.
Yes.
If I'm having an average day and I swing by Coffee Me Up, suddenly my life is perfect. You know, you have your own energy force and it beams. It's like having two suns. There's the sun and then there's a Mateo. S-U-N.
Thank you. I don't know. I choose to live like that. You know, I actually put it this way. I practice putting myself into that state on a constant basis. It's almost like working out. When you work out, you build muscle, right? It's the same thing. You practice changing your state. You become better and more efficient to it, so you don't allow certain things to affect you for a longer period of time than they have to, so that you can spread that love and joy and happiness to everybody else.
You work it like a muscle.
You know, I have my bad day sometimes. I really,
really?
Do. Yes. They.
What does a bad day look like? It takes about 20 minutes.
They're bad days.
Oh, yeah, sometimes. Of course. And I realize you're not here to talk about your coffee shop, but I can't help but to recognize how your calling seems to be met in part by your work at this time. You and your wife collaboratively own and operate this
yes.
shop, and your family's both, you have members of both sides of your family working there, and
yes.
and you treat your employees like family, and you treat everyone that comes in like family. You really just have one big family.
I feel, well, there is blood-related family, and there is friends, right? In my opinion, friends are family, because they're family of choice. And it is like that. I mean, we're only here for a short period of time, and why not make the best out of that time? We think that even a small coffee shop could cause a little ripple effect, that our mission with that is, like, if we can change somebody's day for the better, even just a little bit, I know deep down to the core that the next person they meet, they're going to transmit that smile, that joy, and that person is going to do it so on and so on and so on.
Like dominoes.
And I really see it happening, and that's what actually fulfills me and drives me and keeps me going even more.
Yeah.
But that's what that coffee shop built for.
It is designed to share
yes.
joy, to spread joy.
To that comfort too, you know, and I ask people all the time, how do they feel the moment they walk in the door? And they say, it feels so warm. It feels so comfortable.
Yes, and there's more to it because it's a beautiful space.
Yeah.
It's also a very clean space. Last time I was in there, you were on the ground and I thought you were painting, but you weren't. You were cleaning with a bowl of water and a paintbrush. And paintbrushes are really effective cleaning tools.
They are.
But it feels like it's been loved, every little corner of
yes.
it.
It also satisfies my OCD too.
So you're a big dreamer. You have a lot of plans and you have this drive. Where did this characteristic come from? Who else is a dreamer in your family?
My brother is a dreamer. My parents, I think, are dreamers, but not like me. Everybody in the family makes fun of me, and actually there is an Albanian expression that they say when you actually dream too much and your dreams are kind of like unbelievable, they tell you that you're actually flying with a leek. On top of a leek. A leek, it's like a thick onion,
uh-huh.
but back home they happen to be really thick, you know? So instead of flying over a broom like a witch, you're actually flying over a leek, basically, like, you know, those dreams don't exist, so stop practicing them.
Oh, and, come down to earth.
Yes, so I actually keep feeding that leek, you know, I keep feeding it water, because I know that it's going to get big enough that it will actually be able to handle everybody that jumps on board to fly with it.
If you have another coffee shop, you could name it the Flying Leek. I really like that you fly on leeks.
I actually love that.
Idioms are fantastic, are they not?
They are.
You can just bring any idioms you've got. They're really super. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song Mateo has selected for us. Can you introduce this song for us and just say a word about why you chose it?
This song is by Alvaro Soler. It's called La Cintura. It has a very good feel, very good vibe, and I don't know, I just love the way it makes me feel.
Cada día cuando levanta, brilla como el sol. Su vestido de seda.